Father, I give you the praise. We give you the honor for your mercy. And we appreciate you. Be glorified, Lord. Be honored and be adored. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before you sit down, three things happened to someone tonight. Maybe one of the three, but at least three things happened. One, that God's mercy has spoken for somebody. Where you couldn't speak for yourself, where you are not even present, God's mercy just spoke for you. Number two, that God has fought a battle for somebody. A major battle of your life, a major battle of your destiny, a major battle of your life's assignment, a major battle of your life, your destiny, your life's assignment, in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, that God has brought someone into restoration. There is a restoration. Something has been restored. Something has been restored. Something has been restored. Something the enemy took from you. Some opportunity the enemy took. Some finances. Some resources. Some relationships. Such association that the enemy took from someone has just been restored. If you are that one, you shout the loudest amen. And if you believe that you are the person, just pray in the spirit for the next 30 seconds. Establish this restoration. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. God just fought a battle for you, and that he has just brought you into restoration, or brought restoration to you. What would you like someone to tell you? Could go ahead and walk to seven people and congratulate them. Give us a song of celebration. Hallelujah. Eh. Hallelujah. Eh. Hallelujah. Eh. Hear the sound of victory. Hallelujah, eh? Hallelujah, oh.
Let the sound
of rejoicing.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah,
eh?
Hallelujah,
eh?
voice of triumph. There is victory in the air. And you shall testify in 24 hours. You shall testify in 24 hours. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. For someone here tonight, if that was the service, it is enough. But there is more to come. Hallelujah. Very, very quickly tonight, in this month of wisdom, we shall be looking at the wisdom of God. I'd like you to brace up yourself because there shall be very, very strong impartation tonight. The wisdom of God, our objective is threefold. Number one, understanding different kinds of wisdom. Number two, understanding the content of the wisdom of God. First, understanding different kinds of wisdom. Number two, understanding the content of the wisdom of God. And number three, understanding our access to the wisdom of God. So first, we shall understand the different kinds of wisdom. Number two, we shall understand the content of the wisdom of God. Number three, we shall understand our access to the wisdom of God. James chapter 3 verse 15 all the way to verse 17. James chapter 3 said, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, that is with the senses, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Every time we teach on the subject of wisdom, what we are actually referring to is the wisdom of God. We are referring particularly to the wisdom of God because there are different kinds of wisdom. Different kinds of wisdom. And we shall look at them right now. What are the different kinds of wisdom? So that we can later on zero down on the wisdom of God. Number one is earthly wisdom or natural wisdom. The Bible said in James chapter 3 and in verse 15, he said that there's a wisdom that is earthly, earthly wisdom. The earthly wisdom or natural wisdom is wisdom that is just natural. Nobody was taught that the mouth is where to take food to. It is natural that you don't carry food and take it to the eyes or try to put food in the ears. It is natural. Children were born to put the breast in the mouth without anybody teaching them that is where to put it. It's natural. Earthly. Everybody knows that when it is time to use the restroom, you leave the bedroom. It is natural. It's natural wisdom. Number two is sensual wisdom or the wisdom of the senses. In James chapter 3 and in verse 15, he said, but there's an earthly wisdom, and then the sensual wisdom is the wisdom of the senses. That is what you might call common sense wisdom. Common sense wisdom is, it's just common. That is, you are standing on the road and a vehicle is coming. Nobody tells you to leave the road. It is common sense. You are talking and somebody is talking at the same time. Nobody tells you one should keep quiet for the other. Because as you are both talking, nobody will hear the other. So it's common sense. It's wisdom that is common, just common, common sense. You just reason it out. So that's the earthly wisdom that is natural, almost born with it. And then this is common sense, where you just use your senses. Right? All these wisdoms are necessary for, in one way or the other, except where there is a challenge, and except the God and except the demonic one, which we shall come to shortly. Number three is intellectual wisdom. Is the wisdom that comes from education and intelligence, intellectual wisdom. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 4, we saw, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom it was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science. See, it's tying all of that to wisdom. And such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So Daniel was in this group, and in verse chapter 20 and verse 20 and 21, this Bible said that this Daniel, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. This is the wisdom that a person learns with education, by the use of the intellect and intelligence. This is applicable in several ways, and it's very, very necessary. Education is necessary. Intelligence is necessary, because it will do for you many times what ignorance will not do, what illiteracy will not do. It just upgrades you in many, many ways. Intellectual wisdom. The fourth one. All right, let me go in this order. Number four, after intellectual wisdom, is experiential wisdom. What people learn by experience. What you learned by experience, you learned by practice. Experiential wisdom. In Genesis chapter 30 and in verse 27, Laban said to Jacob, he said, I have learned by experience. And Laban said unto him, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, I tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Experience showed me. Experience is a teacher, but not the best one. It's better to learn deliberately than to let experience teach you. Because if you put your leg in the fire and then experience taught you that fire can burn you, the scar will remain there. Okay? So experiential wisdom. Experiential wisdom is what the pilots used to fly. And they say, the last time I flew and found this, had this kind of challenge, I went this way. Experience is what the medical doctors use and surgeons use and all of that. Okay, I've done 1,000 surgeries. So all the other times, this was how I went, and I need to go this way. All right? Experience is what the tailor used to become a better tailor. He had been sewing and it has been terrible, but he continued with experience. So experience, practice, at times ushers people into perfection, and then exercise brings excellence. That's the place of experiential wisdom. That is experiential wisdom. Now you move from there to the wisdom of years, the wisdom of age, or the wisdom of years. In Job chapter 32 and in verse 7 to verse 8, the Bible spoke. It said, I said that days should speak, a multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. That is why they said in the village that what a father stands on the floor and sees, when a child has climbed a tree, he may not be able to see it. That's why also the Bible said, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's the wisdom of age. When someone is older than you, most times, there are things he may know you may not know. Things he has seen you have not seen. Things he may have experienced you have not experienced. So there is a counsel he may give you that may help you. But most times, the wisdom of age can be disappointing. In Job chapter 32 and in verse 9, the same Job, he now told us, he said, great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged necessarily understand judgment.
That is, I was looking forward to this man's age to speak,
but the age could not speak. How many of you have ever come across an elder, with all due respect to him, that behaved like he wasn't wise at all?
That is, as the years of his life, I've come across two or three elders like that, elderly people.
You expected them to behave corresponding with their age,
and they behave like age came without change. Age was on their side, but wisdom was never on their side.
So, the wisdom of age can disappoint.
At times, age may not be totally reliable, even though it is expected to have a certain measure of wisdom. Am I communicating?
All right. So, this is the wisdom where you deal with age. When you see the aged person displaying a wisdom you don't have, hear them. When an aged person is telling you something that is obviously contrary to common sense, is contrary to scriptural sense, respect their age without paying attention to the incorrect wisdom. Am I communicating?
That is, so how many wisdom have we dealt with so far, or with there? Earthly or natural wisdom, number two. Sensual wisdom or the wisdom of the senses, number three. Intellectual wisdom, number four. Experiential wisdom, number five. The wisdom of age or the wisdom of years. Number six is devilish wisdom. That is the one that nobody should go for. In James 3:15, it told us about this wisdom that is devilish. Occultic wisdom. Demonic wisdom. Do this and that and you will make a lot of money. Do this and that and you exchange the stars of somebody. The wisdom by which they manipulate, remote control, and dominate lives. The outcome of that wisdom is eternity in hellfire. It's not a wisdom to go for. The devil has no free gift. The wisdom of the magicians, the wisdom of the occultists, the wisdom of the ritualists, the wisdom where they say, eat this and eat that, and you cannot be all manner. That is not the wisdom to go for. The one to go for is number seven, the wisdom of God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. You can benefit from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in one way or the other. But the most critical wisdom and the one that is above is the wisdom of God. James chapter 3 and in verse 15 and then in verse. See, this wisdom descended not from above, but it is, alright, so if you look at verse 17, it's now said, but the wisdom that is from above is pure. And why must we trust the wisdom from above? John chapter 3 verse 31. John 3:31, he said, whatsoever is from above, he that cometh from above is above all. The wisdom from above is above all. Is above the earthly wisdom, is above the sensual wisdom, is above the intellectual wisdom, is above the experiential wisdom, is above the wisdom of age, is far above the occult and devilish wisdom. That which comes from above is above all, the wisdom of God. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Anybody who thinks you are in a classroom tonight, say amen. So what is the wisdom of God, which is in bracket the wisdom from above? Number one, the wisdom of God is the mind of God concerning particular issues. The mind of God. Lord, what is your mind
concerning this business. What is your mind concerning this proposal? What is your mind concerning this journey? When you can access the mind of God, you are in touch with the wisdom of God. Very, very easy, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to verse 10. He said, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the thought, what is in God's mind? I have seen someone around me that looks like a wife. What is the mind of God concerning this one? What is the mind of God concerning this business I am thinking about? What is the mind of God concerning this that I am thinking about? When God reveals to you his mind, whether it is in vision or revelation or his voice or the peace of mind, by any means you get access to the mind of God, you are established in wisdom. And with wisdom, your results are fail-proof. With the wisdom of God, you don't miss road. With the wisdom of God, you don't miss direction. With the wisdom of God, you don't have to be afraid of the result. The result is confirmed. Because the Bible said wisdom is justified of her children. The product of wisdom is guaranteed. Somebody say amen. Does that make it easy, right? What is the wisdom of God? Number two. The wisdom of God is the decision-making process of God. The decision-making process. The thought process. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. He said, come, let us reason together. Is the reasoning. The reasoning of God is wisdom. In John chapter 8 verse 3 all the way to verse 11. We saw the scribes brought a woman, John 8, 3 to 11. I might not read all of it, but you know the story. How a woman was brought and they say she was caught in adultery. They say she was caught in the very act. Which means there was an actor. The challenge is that they brought her alone. If she was caught in the very act, where was the co-actor? They brought her alone. And Jesus saw their hypocrisy, their wickedness of heart. How they wanted to disgrace this innocent woman. I said innocent because from what I see, it was a setup. They set her, just her up. I believe that the man was among the same Pharisees that came. They set her up and they set Jesus up. The law said, anyone who is caught like this should be stoned to death. What do you who think you are above the law, what do you say? Let's catch you. Want to catch you now. And Jesus Christ said, he dropped his head first, started writing on the ground, lifted up his head, and said, any of you that has not sinned, and I didn't say kill the woman or don't kill her, because any answer Jesus gave will be wrong. If you say kill her, they will say, see now you are a liar. I thought you say you are a Messiah. You came to save people's life. Now you are telling people to kill people. If you say don't kill her, then they will stone him himself, because say he is against the law of Moses. And anybody who is against the law of Moses should be stoned. So there is no answer he gave that will be correct. So we are now looking at the decision-making process of God. So he said, all right. I didn't say kill her or don't kill her. Anything you want, do, provided that none of you have ever sinned. Any of you that has not sinned before, throw the first stone. Somebody say wisdom. That is the wisdom. He made sure he was not trapped. And the woman is not trapped. It is they that trap themselves. Any anybody that has not seen before, cast the first stone. The Bible says they began to move from the oldest. He started writing on the ground again. That is you, you have killed before. You, where were you last night? He was writing on the ground. And then they began to leave. The Bible says, beginning with the oldest. He said, oh boss, see you people later. They left until none was left. Woman, where are thine accusers? He said, nobody has accused me. He said, neither do I. So, inside the book of God, we see his decision-making process. When you align yourself like this with the decision-making process of God through his word, you are connected to wisdom. You know, they brought him a coin. They said, should we pay tax to Caesar or not? Because the Jews were grumbling that they were overtaxing them at that time. What do you say? Should we tax? He said, bring me the copy of the coin. They brought it. He said, whose picture is here? He said, Caesar. All right? Give to God, Caesar, what belonged to Caesar. And give to God what belonged to God. Do you understand the meaning of that? Plenty meanings. Meaning number one, the money has the image of Caesar. You have the image of God. God made man in his image. Give to Caesar the money. Give to God your life.
Wisdom, sir. Wow. I hear this, sir.
Are you following what I'm saying here today? Give to God, give to Caesar what carries Caesar's image. Give to God what carries God's image, which is you. Don't be a hypocrite. So this is wisdom, the decision-making process of God, how God arrives at his conclusions. When you are able to connect with the Spirit of God, until you are able to arrive at such conclusions, you are face to face with the wisdom of God. Number three, the wisdom of God is God's principles of living as communicated by the word of God. God's principles of living. You are not to lie. You are not to steal. You are not to bear false witness. And all of those principles of living. God's principles. When you align yourself with the principles of God for your life, you are qualified to be called a wise man. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. He said, he who heareth, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man for hearing what he said and doing it. You are a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The winds will come, the storms will come, and all that will come and blow upon, beat on the house, and it cannot fall. Hearing and doing. Luke chapter 11 verse 49, he refers to the Bible as the wisdom of God. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, he's talking about the Bible, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will slay and persecute. So the book of God is the wisdom of God, is the wisdom bank. There is nobody who studies this Bible, gets revelation out of it, applies those revelations to his life, that is, you walk with them, that will not be a wise person. It's impossible. The all-wise God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This book of God is the same as God. And God is the only wise God. This is the only wise book. All-wise book. Teach you principles of leadership, principles of success, principles of financial management, principles of family management. Anything you need, any principle in life is inside this book. I've been to nations, I've taught leadership. I taught in Uganda, I taught in several places. And what they began to say is that even Harvard, they never heard a thing like this. I've taught financial principles from this book. Success principles from this book. There are 5-star organizations now that are using our book, Career and Workplace Wisdom. I know of one particular place, an organization, 5-star organization, where all the staff have to recite the book one by one. Number one, number two, number three. He put them up like this. He put them high flying. All from the scripture. All from the Bible. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. It's God's principles. Number four, the wisdom of God is the solution of God to the challenges of life. The solution of God to the challenges of life. I have more to say. It is the answer of God to the questions of life. It's my semicolon, then another semicolon. And this last one excites me. It is the simplification by God of the complications of life. When God simplifies things that are complicated, it's wisdom. It is the simplification by God of the complications of life. Maybe you are at a junction in your life and you are puzzled. Your mind is challenged and charged with complexities and complications. There are things you don't know what to do about, how to go about them. There is a wisdom of God that simplifies complications. We saw that in the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 41, verse 39 to 44. That was what Joseph did. Joseph simplified the complications that were before Pharaoh. Start from verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. You will be over my house. It was a complication. Pharaoh dreamt a dream. Will you call that a dream? No. It is a nightmare. Where you saw mortuary bound cows. What bound cows? Moribund cows. Cows that were asthenic, anemic, marasmic, quasiotic, lethargic, dry, appeared and swallowed up robust fat cows. Just swallowed them and their size remained the same. This is a nightmare. What have I seen? Pharaoh had no answer. Magicians of Egypt had no answer. But then Joseph had an answer. 7 years of plenty will come after that 7 years of famine. And the plenty will not be remembered because of how the scarcity will dry it up. What do we do? That is where the matter lies. By the wisdom of God, Joseph was able to decomplicate the matter. By the wisdom of God, Joseph was able to demystify the matter, provided the solution that saved Egypt and the then world. That was Joseph. I announced to someone here today, there are people that will, through the wisdom of God, solve national problems. That amen can be better and louder. The challenges of our nation and the challenges of the nation where you have come from, the wisdom of God will position you as a solution provider, as an answers giver to our generation. You believe and shout the loudest amen. Scream it louder. Say, I receive. Hallelujah. That is the wisdom of God. Any other example? 1 Kings chapter 3. We saw Solomon provided solution by the wisdom of God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 28. Two prostitutes came to Solomon. They lived together, delivered children together. Overnight, one slept over her child, and the child died. Probably, likely they were on the same bed. Two women, two mothers, left with one child. They began to drag the child. Is there any woman here who doesn't know the identity of her child? No matter how new the newborn baby is. But one of the women was a crooked woman. The heart that made her a prostitute, that heart wanted her to take a child that was not her own. This one said the child is mine. The other one said the child is hers. And they kept dragging the child. Thank God they didn't kill the child before they arrived. And Solomon just became president. And when they brought the matter to Solomon, as they continued to drag, Solomon said, please sit down. Solomon said, bring me a sword. Somebody say wisdom. Not that he wanted to kill the child, but the wisdom of God said, do this and you will know the true mother. Bring me a sword. I will divide this living child into two. I will give this woman half, and I will give the other woman half. The woman who owns the living child, her bowels yearned. No, sir, you can't kill my son. You can't kill my child. Give it to her. Owner of child knows the child. And child will know the mother later when the time comes. But for now, give her the living child. I can't afford. I can't watch you kill my child in the name of solving a problem. Then the crooked, wicked, terrible prostitute. Prostitute. I heard a story of a prostitutious lady that was with a man in a jeep. And they stepped out of, they went to a filling station to buy fuel. And the robbers came for them and shot the man. Pa, pa, pa. And the man was lying down in his pool of blood. And the prostitutious woman went to the dead body, put the hand in the pocket to pick the balance of foreign currency she knew was in the pocket and carried it and just went her way. That's the kind of heartlessness that these people who stand by the roadside can function in. Heartlessness. So when Solomon said, give the child to the... When Solomon said, I will divide the child, this woman said, don't. The other one said, no way, kill the child. It will not be my own, it will not be her own. Let everybody be the loser. Let me not gain, let her not gain. Solomon say, yeah, yeah, woman. Yeah, woman. Look at you. You are an abomination of maternity. A shame of womanhood. Even if the child is not your child, you want anybody's child to be killed? Is there any real woman here who wants anybody's child to be killed? Solomon say, give this woman the child. In no wise slay the child. She is the real owner. This other one, I say, don't kill my child. Look at verse 28. This is why we call it wisdom. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king has judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. That is what the wisdom of God is about. When situations are complicated, when matters are complex, whether it is personal, whether it is organizational, whether it is communal, whether it is regional or national or continental, God gives you the capacity to know how to decomplicate it, how to demystify it, how to dissolve and dismantle it. And I speak prophetically this night, this kind of wisdom is coming upon somebody. And God is going to grant you the ability to dismantle mysteries, to dissolve puzzles, to decomplicate complications. If you believe God is speaking to you, shout the loud and say amen. God
God is speaking to you, shout the loudest, amen. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat as we try to see how we can begin to round off. Number five, the wisdom of God are the hidden secrets or mysteries of God that can be revealed to men. Hidden secrets or mysteries of God. Where things are not obvious, they are oblivious to you, and you are able to access them. Hidden secrets or mysteries. In Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 19 to verse 22, we saw then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. A secret pertaining to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw and forgot. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. In other words, I couldn't have understood, uncovered this secret without his wisdom. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and set it up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealed the deep and secret things by his wisdom. He knoweth what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Job chapter 15 and verse 8, talking about the secret of wisdom. Hast thou heard the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom? Restrain wisdom to thyself. So the secret of God is connected to the wisdom of God. Now Job chapter 11 verse 6 clears all doubt. Job chapter 11 verse 6. And he will show you the secrets of wisdom. Wisdom has to do with secrets. For example, if God should show you why there is so much premature death in your family, and he just opens up your eyes to see that there was something that was done by a father or a forefather, an ancestral lineage or something. This is the reason why this has been happening, and this is what to do to avoid it happening further. It is called the wisdom of God that came in form of a secret. Am I communicating at all? Why is it that I'm having repeated marital engagement failure? Somebody wants to marry me, he changes his mind. Somebody wants to marry me, he changes his mind. And then God suddenly takes you into a secret, something hidden, something inside darkness that nobody knows. Education couldn't have given you. Common sense could not have given you. Intellectual wisdom could not have given you. Experience could not have shown you. Nothing could have shown you except the wisdom of God that shows you in a vision of the night or in a revelation or whatever. And says, this is why this has been so. But this is the way out. Then you have access to the wisdom of God. How many of you need the wisdom of God? You know, when we talk about the wisdom of God, most people think it's just all about smartness and sharpness. And being very, very, very witty. No, it goes further than that. We are talking of the wisdom of God that will show you that you wouldn't have known. That will show you things that principalities and powers don't want you to know. He says the thing that principalities and occult people bury things hidden somewhere that you wouldn't have known except that God reveals. I announce today in the name of Jesus, God is about to expose a hidden secret, a hidden mystery, something that will advance your life and change your destiny drastically, something that will impact on your family, on your community, on your generation. I declare that wisdom of God be revealed and unveiled tonight in the name of Jesus. You believe that? Say a louder amen. You believe that? Say a louder amen. Is somebody getting anything at all? When I'm through preaching tonight, we'll take 1 minute each for each of these points and trust the Lord to unveil to us the path of wisdom. Take your seat. They are the hidden secrets or mysteries of God that can be revealed to men. Is the wisdom of God. Number six, the wisdom of God is the realm of invention and creativity. Everyone who is in the creative realms, information technology, fashion, whatever, this is the realm of wisdom. The wisdom is the realm of invention and creativity. The creative realm of God
Proverbs chapter 3, chapter 8, and in verse 12. The Bible said, concerning the wisdom of God, it said, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge of witty inventions. I, wisdom, how to bring about witty inventions, to invent things. Witty inventions. Exodus 31, and in verse 1, all the way to verse 5. Exodus 31, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of creativity, all manner of workmanship, all manner to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass. This guy, to cut stones, to set them, to craft him, all manner of creativity. And no wonder the Bible said in Mark chapter 6 verse 2 concerning Jesus, what wisdom is this that is given to this man, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 12, the Lord has made the earth by his power, and he has established the world by his wisdom. He established the world by his wisdom. So wisdom, the wisdom is the creative realm of God, bringing into existence things that never existed, designs that were not there before, solutions, answers that were not there before. In our ministry, I've seen a couple of inventors, and we are going to trust God to see how to push these inventions forward. You remember the young man who created the lantern with water? I'm sure you still remember. And that invention is on. We have plenty inventions. And when I think that it is now time through the home church to do the creativity fair that we've been talking about, I think now as we are approaching the dry season, we can just spread tent inside a garden there, the roots of Sharon garden there, and all the way the garden one, garden two, and just create a fair. Let people bring their handwork and their expertise and the things they are doing and their things they are creating. And in the season that we are in, you see, everything we preach about God confirms. As I'm preaching about wisdom now, there are people whose dreams are going to be charged. You are going to begin to see answers in the dream, solution in the night. You are going to begin to see the way of things. And I'm speaking to people who are not here in person, who are connected online. God is about to show you answers, invention to bring about things that will make life easy for the world and glorify the name of God. Anyone like that here, shout the Lord and say amen. Shout the Lord and say amen. Shout a believer's amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I am available to receive your wisdom, to connect with your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, number 7, the wisdom of God is foresight into the future. Involves foresight into the future. The wisdom of God makes you to know things ahead, to see things ahead. Actually, wisdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20, it said, to fetch about this form of speech, has your servant Joab done this thing? And my Lord is wise, according to the wisdom of an angel, to know all things that are in the earth. You see? So, the wisdom of God, which angels have a little of, it knows all things. The things past, things present, things to come. Now, in Isaiah chapter 19 and in verse 12, he speaks further. He said, where are they? Let them tell thee now. And let them know what the Lord of hosts has proposed upon Egypt. What God has planned. What is in the front of Egypt. Does any of you so-called wise men know? All you wise men of the earth. No. The only one who knows the future of Egypt and the future of his people is the God of all wisdom.
That was the display that Joseph displayed in Egypt. Genesis 41, 29 to 31.
Wisdom with the capacity for the future.
He said, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty. It's coming. It's not. We are not talking about today. We are talking about something that is going to come in the time to come. It's going to be 7 years of plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And then there shall arise after that 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt,
and the famine shall consume the land. This is wisdom speaking of what has not come. How many of us know that it is very, very important to know things ahead?
Some things about your life is important to know. That is the place of vision and understanding divine purpose. When God says, this is what I want to do with your life, it's part of His wisdom. He's revealing His wisdom to you. This is what I want to do with your life. This is what I want you to become in time to come, or what I want you to do. So you can prepare yourself for it. If Joseph did not know that he was going to stand before Pharaoh, how would he prepare for it? How would he keep the prison, the palace garment? In Genesis chapter 41 verse 14, when they said that Pharaoh sent for Joseph, Joseph shaved himself and changed his cloth. He changed his raiment. How will he change his raiment if he never knew that the day was coming when the door of the prison will open?
Somebody say a loud amen. All these are dimensions of divine wisdom. That's why it is superior to intellectual wisdom, superior to common sense, superior to earthly wisdom. Is superior to experiential wisdom. Is superior to the wisdom of age. Occultic wisdom, as terrible as they want to be, is not near the wisdom of God. That was why Daniel was higher than all the astrologers and the magicians of Babylon. It is called the wisdom of God. This wisdom gives you an insight into the future. I was asked by one of the Germans that came here during the convention, a very tall man. He did me an interview because he has a platform where he speaks like 80,000 people a week or so on his, social media, right? And he was asking me, so where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Where do you see the ministry? So I said, I see ourselves like this, and I see ourselves like this. But there is something more I am seeing, but I cannot talk about it now. Right? Yeah, I'm seeing it, but I can't talk about it now. Why? Joseph talked too much. All right, I dreamt a dream. This and that and that. And that landed him in some trouble. All right. So, but there are things I can see. That's all. But the fact I'm bringing out is the fact that there is something I'm seeing, and there is something I'm aware of. So we are not just moving blindly into the future. We are moving calculatedly, step by step, into what we perceive is the future for us. And many of you know the gift of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Those are called revelation gifts. They are gifts that show you something. Discerning of spirits makes you understand the climate you are in. What kind of spirit is in this place? What kind of spirit is in this premises? What kind of spirit is in this house? What kind of spirit is in this kind of place? And then when you see human beings, you can also at times discern their spirits. What kind of spirit is this person talking with? Right? When you see a person laughing, but it's a fraudulent laugh, or it's a crooked laugh, you'll be able to tell. I've seen that plenty times. Right? So that's discernment, is revelation. Word of knowledge is giving you an insight into what is happening now, or what happened before. That is, about 5 years ago, you had an accident. Oh yes, that is true. That is a word of knowledge. There is a pain on your chest now. Oh yes, that is a word of knowledge. Alright? Now, word of wisdom now begins to give solutions and also declare the future. In 5 days' time, you are going to meet somebody. That is a word of wisdom. It's showing something tomorrow. Am I communicating at all? So, it shows solutions around you, answers around you, or the things that are yet to come. That is why we need the wisdom of God. How many of us need that wisdom of God today? Anybody who needs that wisdom, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. I don't know about you, but I heard some things about wisdom today I never heard before. Is there anybody like that? I know you know many things, but as for me, I heard some things about wisdom today I never heard before. Is there anybody like that here? Anybody like me? I know everything you heard today you have heard before, right?
Alright, take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Finally, as we conclude, what is the way of the wisdom of God? We cannot go into all of it tonight, but two basic things. Number one is the fear of the Lord. Job chapter 28 and in verse 28, it says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. He also said in the book of Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 10, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the kindergarten of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Proverbs Psalm 111 verse 10. Psalm 111 verse 10. Say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. This scripture is very important now. Proverbs 15:33. The Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. That is, when you fear God, you are connected to wisdom instruction. God instructs those who fear him in the way of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. So, everyone who fears God, which is to hate evil, according to Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, which is to hate evil, hate crookedness, hate lying, hate cheating, hate fraudulent life, immoral living, and all the terrible things that people do, like if God does not exist. The fear of the Lord makes you hate those things. The fear of God means existing like God did. Being conscious that there is a God and that life's actions have consequences. Fear of God means you walk with a conscience that is awake. A conscience that is awake. You will not deliberately hurt God or hurt man. When that kind of fear of God is available, you are connected to the flow of wisdom. That is why every child of God who walks in the fear of God, you don't need to struggle for wisdom. It flows naturally. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Number two is the word of God. The word of God, I round off now. The word of God is the way of wisdom. So the way of wisdom and the way of the fear of God and the word of God. I already read for you Luke 11:49. He said, say the word of the wisdom of God. He was talking about the word of God and he called it the wisdom of God. I also read for you Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 24. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house. So hearing the word is not what makes you wise, it's doing them. Hearing the word and doing them makes a wise man. Now, this Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 9 is very, very instructive. He said, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed. And they have been taken. Why? They have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Nothing. It's not possible to reject the word and retain the wisdom. Say that again. It is not possible to reject his word and retain his wisdom. What wisdom is in them? You wake up in the morning, you put food in your mouth, you don't put word in your spirit. You walk through the day, you haven't listened to one passage of scripture, one verse. Or a message. Somebody sent me a message today on marriage. It's titled Supernatural Marriage. The speaker preached it maybe 15 or 20 years ago. He said that has blessed his life, and both husband and wife listening to it, and it does something to them on a continuous basis.
So that message provided them with marital wisdom. So I told him, I like to listen to it. So I'm going to listen to it tonight. She has already listened to it as soon as he said, I was preparing for this mess service. So I was unable to listen to it. Is it that I'm not doing well in marriage? For where? By God's grace, we are doing well. Somebody say, over well, self. That's what this man just said. But I need to learn and hear more. Reinforce the things I am doing well. Be energized in anything I'm relaxing in. And also be instructed to instruct others. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So the word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 5. He says, verse 15. And from a child, you have known the holy scriptures that was able to make you wise unto salvation. And wise unto every realm. Scriptures make wise. Abraham Lincoln was a wise president. He said it was not possible to be president without the Bible. Every wise man in history traced their root to scripture. Even all the religions of the world, majority of them, is just Bible here and there, perverted, corrupted. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody is blessed. Who was the person? Outside the speaker. Who else has been blessed apart from the speaker? Who else has been blessed apart from the speaker? Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. A louder amen. A louder amen. Hallelujah. I am excited. We are going to pray this. 7 wisdom points into our lives. We take it in 1 minute and a half at the most and see how fast. You don't need to do that. Just take a minute and a half for each of them and establish them in your life. Father, give me access to your mind, access to your heart. Hallelujah. Just pray it as it is on the screen. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready tonight? Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I receive access to your mind, through your wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Say again, say, Father,
Father,
I receive
access
to your mind. Lift your voice and say, Father.
Father.
Lift your voice and say, Father.
Father.
I receive
access
to your mind. On every issue of my life, by your wisdom, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Pray. Open your mouth and pray. I receive the wisdom of God. I connect with the mind of God. You might want to place your hand across your head. I connect with the mind of God. The wisdom of God that is connectable to the with the mind of God. I connect it right now. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. The wisdom of God, connectable with the mind of God. Lita Saratino. Mekalita Sita Lina Naya. I receive the mind of God today. Lerita Sete Ferutasanina Galayala Harda.
Magarani. Rata sete frito seco. Lina Magaranis. Lina Magaranis. Kelly Merobodosa. Litara Magalaru. Rata sete frini Malagalari. Rata sete frito sina Lagarla. Masha Tora tasete frito sete la Vadara. Lara tasete la Vadara. In the name of Jesus. Say after me, say, Father,
by your wisdom,
I receive help in decision making. In the name of Jesus,
I connect myself to
the decision making process of God, by the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray. Father, I connect myself to the decision making process of God, by the wisdom of God. Today, I am connected. I receive connection to the decision making process of God, by the wisdom of God.
Who have prayed, lift up your voice and say, Father,
I connect with your wisdom, the principles of your word,
as communicated by your word.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
Father, I connect with the principles of living, through your word as communicated.
And say, Father,
I connect
the wisdom of God,
for the solution
of the challenges of life. In the name of Jesus, again say, Father,
I receive
your wisdom for the solution of God to the challenges of my life. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray.
Thank you.
like Jesus. Pray with me. Say, Father,
Father,
I ask by your wisdom, reveal your hidden secrets and mysteries to me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and pray.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice and pray. Say, Father,
I connect
to your wisdom,
for the realm,
in the realm of invention
and creativity.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Father, I step into your realm of wisdom, the realm of invention, the realm of creativity. I step into the creative realm of God, the creative realm of God. The wisdom of God, the realm of invention, the realm of creativity.
Jesus Christ, let's pray and say, Father,
Father,
I ask for your wisdom,
for
insight
into
the future.
Lord,
the realms of foresight
into
the future. Make me to know
things
and see things ahead. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice.
Father, help me to see, to have sight into the future, to see things ahead, things ahead. Let us take a look at the other.
Jesus. The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. An altar call was given earlier on, but in case you didn't give your life to Christ in that altar call and you need to hand over your life to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, quickly pick your Bibles and your bags and come forward here. I'd like us to take this song 1 minute. We are victorious. Yes, we are victorious. Glory to be to God who has given us the victory. While the song is on, you are in need of handing over your life to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins. You want today to mark a new day in your life. Quickly carry your Bibles and your bags. Quickly come forward here while that song is on. Apart from those who already came out earlier on, quickly come forward here. While we are doing that, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, you want today to mark a new day in your life, quickly come forward. While they are doing that, communion position can be taken. Let's go. Clap of hand, take your seat 1 minute. Don't take the communion yet. Place your hand on yourself, those of you in the front here. And again, say after me, Lord Jesus, I come before you tonight to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins, Lord. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken off your life. And grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.